Welcome to the Move Forward Podcast with Dr. Kim Moss. We are here to move you forward in the call of God for your life, your career, and your ministry through prophetic insight, practical teaching, and powerful conversations with influential leaders. Never throw away your confidence. It is time to move forward.
Welcome to Move Forward with Dr. Kim Moss. I am your host, Dr. Kim Moss, and I am so glad that you are here today. As you can see, I'm in Studio B, and I have an extraordinary guest for you to meet today. Her name is Dr. Cheryl Bridges-Johns. Now, Dr. Cheryl Bridges-Johns is a leading ecumenist representing Pentecostal movement in several venues. Ordained in the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, Dr. Bridges-Johns has been a participant in the International Roman Catholic Pentecostal Dialogue, the Mennonite Church of God Dialogue, and Evangelicals and Catholics Together. Dr. Bridges-Johns is the author of Finding Eternal Treasures, Pentecostal Formation, a Pedagogy Among the Oppressed, Seven Transforming Gifts of Menopause, and Re-Enchanting the Text, Discovering the Bible is Sacred, Dangerous, and Mysterious. That book is forthcoming actually in March of this year, and you are going to want to pick it up. It's a very, very important book. You can go to Amazon and you can pick it up today. While at the Pentecostal Seminary, Dr. Bridges-Johns served in the Robert E. Fisher Chair of Spiritual Renewal. She is past president of the Society for Pentecostal Studies. Dr. Bridges-Johns is currently visiting professor of Pentecostal Studies at United Theological Seminary. And if most of you know, that's the last place I graduated from in 2013. I graduated with my Doctor of Ministry at United Theological Seminary. I met Dr. Bridges-Johns through Bishop Mark Sharona. And after I heard her talking about the topic of discernment, which is what we're going to talk about today, I knew that I had to have her as a guest on my show. I also follow her on Twitter, and you should do the same because I love her tweets. They're really good. Would you welcome with me Dr. Bridges-Johns? Cheryl, can I call you Cheryl? I didn't even ask
sure,
you.
If I can call you Kim, we'll be good.
Yes, please. It just makes it easier. And thank you so much for being a guest today. I'm so excited that you're here.
It's good to be here with you, Kim. I'm thankful for the
And interview. Now you're at UTS.
I am at UTS now. Wow. I know. You know, I was at the Church of God Pentecostal Theological Seminary for 37 years and retired, so to speak, from there, and then recycled over to United. God has ways of putting us where we thought we'd never be.
He really does. But it's lovely that you're there. I love the leadership there. So anyway, welcome to Move Forward. And so I want to get right into our topic because we don't have lots of time and I really want them to hear this from you. But could you share with us before we start a little bit about your history with the Pentecostal Charismatic Movement and your experience with prophetic ministry or prophets and prophecy?
Yeah. I'm fourth generation in the Pentecostal movement. My great-grandmother was kicked out of the Methodist church in 1907 and helped form her own church. And I grew up in that church, in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And it, you know, was a warm, nurturing community for the gifts of the Spirit for my life. And the elders would affirm God's calling on me. And it wasn't until later that I learned that's not normal for a lot of people, especially women, to have such a community, you know, where the elders would say, we sense God's call on your hand, on your life, or God's hand on your life, and then give you opportunities to serve. Allowed me in the pulpit when I was 16. And so I went away to college trying to figure out what God wanted me to do, and ended up meeting my husband at Lee University, and we have been together 48 years and two children, five grandchildren. We planted a church, pastored that church for 27 years, and retired from there about 7 years ago. And God has been faithful to us. And, you know, my understanding of prophetic ministry, I have always sort of had a prophetic ministry as speaking prophetically. And in some ways, it's been a painful thing because if you, well, I had a professor once who said, if you want to be a prophet, you need to be able to work for the wages of a prophet. And the wages of a prophet aren't, biblically speaking, aren't always good. And so having a prophetic ministry is, you know, to, as the Lord said in Isaiah 51, I've placed my words in your mouth. And woe be unto us if we're not faithful with that. And there's a lot of misunderstanding of prophetic ministry today. The classical understanding is the ones who speak, who unveil, uncover things, mm-hmm. not necessarily the future as much as how God sees the world and life and people, and to speak as God sees. And that, you know, we're creatures where we like to create our own images of ourselves and the world. And sometimes it takes the prophetic to cut through that, to unveil that, and to say, this is what the Lord sees. And that can be affirming. That can be in love, rebuke. That can be a vision of your future. And I see that working both corporately and personally. You know, prophecy is not necessarily an individual gift. I believe it is. But it's grounded in the corporate discerning community. So it is a first and foremost gift to the church. It's the church's gift for the church. And so to be grounded in the church is to be a person who is part of a body and accountable in that body and not just a wandering seer off somewhere.
Oops, I agree with that, boy. I was just I was talking with a few friends just earlier today. We were talking about how some of what we have seen in the prophetic that has concerned us really stems from being dismembered from the local church, you know, yeah. and so as though privacy is. Prophecy is something that's private and a career path, and not something that really belongs to the whole church. And so that being part of the church, we prophesy as part of the church. And I think that lends itself to some of the, you know, shall we say, celebrity culture that has been a little bit of a problem at times.
It has been, yeah.
So I want to ask you about specifically about this thing called discernment. So mm-hmm. can you talk to me about discernment? What is discernment? Is it different from the gift of discernment? How does it relate to prophecy? I'd like to hear you talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I think that discernment is probably the one way of knowing the world that we need the most today. It's hard to discern because we live in a time where there are many voices. You know, we've got Google, we've got social media, et cetera, and it's easy to get confused, misinformed, and discernment is, if it was ever needed, it's always been needed, but if it's ever needed, it's needed today. So I know, yeah. How do I know? Well, how do I know the world? Well, there's all forms of knowing, reason, intuition, et cetera. But there, I think also there is the way of knowing that is through the discernment. And discerning is, the Bible says, you know, the spirit, especially in the Johannine material, the spirit knows all things. The spirit searches both the human heart and the mind of God, and the only true way of knowing is through the Spirit. Because I can think that I see something. I can think that I can reason that out. I can be very, very wrong about that. I mean, when Germans decided to kill 6 million Jews, they used logic and reason and other things to think that through. That's hard to imagine. But as the late Pope Benedict said, sometimes there is reason can be demonic. How do we know that our reason is not demonic or even not necessarily demonic? Or is it, how do we know our reasoning, our thinking is not selfish or self-serving or just off kilter? And the Spirit is the one who sees and knows all things. So discernment comes by being in communion with the Spirit, with the with God in the triune life, and that knowing through the Spirit. And again, it's not so privatized as we would want to make it. I do believe there are people who are more discerning than others and individuals, but I do again see it as a gift in the body and for the body of Christ. So we are to be part of discerning communities. And how do we discern? Well, we discern through Scripture. If somebody says something and it is not clear in Scripture, then we can discern this is not of God. And we discern through the body of Christ bearing witness. So our spirit bears witness individually and corporately with the Spirit of God that this is of God. Like whenever there was a tongues or interpretation or word of knowledge at the church where we pastored, my husband would often say, let the body discern. And he would give a moment of silence. And then he would say, if you discern that this is the word from God, would you affirm that? And people would go, yes, this is a word from God. Or one time we had someone who said, no, I don't believe so. And even when that word was being spoken, I knew immediately it wasn't from God. Now, that's hard to do, though, isn't it? Because we don't want to offend anybody. Yes. Or like, but you don't want to create an environment where false things are spoken, because lives are at stake, people's futures, people's belief systems, and you want to guard that pastorally and cultivate. You know, a pastor, I think, is to be a discerning person, but then also to cultivate the gift of discernment in the body. Bear witness, this is this of God. And sometimes it's not so clear. I think some other, you've got to pray and fast and read Scripture and talk and reason together, like, is this of God? And have a sense that you are hearing from God or not hearing from God. But often, you know, I find that a lot of false prophecies are so, one thing, they're off, maybe just individuals giving them out on a TV or a video or YouTube or whatever, and there's no way the body can discern. And then they don't give you time. And a lot of times they will give you, they'll say something like, history happens in cycles and this is, and then it's if it's a syllogism, if then, and then they'll make a leap and people will just leap with them. And you go, wait a minute, we made a huge leap here. And who is discerning here? How is it being discerned? And it can be smoke and mirrors that happen then. And too many precious people of God are led astray by people who claim to have prophetic words and are not, spending time in Jeremiah. You can see where, you know, Jeremiah said, concerning the prophets, my heart is crushed within me. And, you know, where the prophets in the Old Testament are saying, you know, God is speaking through them saying, you know, they prophesy, but I did not send them. They speak, but I am not speaking. And, but if they had stood in my counsel, you know, then, and we're in a time when there's a lot of speaking and prophesying, but God is not the author of that. And discerning that corporately is a vital That's why it's important to be linked to a body of Christ and not just individually out there grabbing theology wherever we can, because it's easy to be deceived. I don't know about you. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer sometimes, and I can easily get led some strange way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. It feels for the last several years, there's just been a lot of noise because as social media has picked up, there's no need for any kind of credentials, you know, and we have said many times, I can remember when I was younger in the charismatic church, and we would say, listen, God can speak through a donkey, right? We're talking about Balaam's donkey, and he can, you know, you don't have to have an education. You don't have to have a bank account. You don't have to even be of a certain age for the Holy Spirit to come on you and speak through you. And that's very true. However, for judging a word, as you were pointing out, if this is the responsibility of the body, and you are outside of the body and you are using a media that allows no one to speak into your life, no one to speak into what you just said, no one to ask any sort of questions, then it's not being judged. You know, I know that you and I are not saying, you know, that unless you have a certain pedigree, your word is not from the Lord. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that there is a way of judging a prophetic word, of discerning a word together, that we will know that it actually is a word of the Lord. Because my concern, I think probably yours too, and I would love to hear what your concerns are about this time, but my concern is the people being led astray, are the people who are being really discouraged and disappointed in the Lord because some word didn't come to pass, but perhaps that word wasn't even from the Lord. Maybe it was just someone's opinion or a thought they had. We have a lot of that. You know, I totally believe that God can speak through what we call an impression in the charismatic church, but that impression still has to come from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, indeed. And we had a woman in our church once, precious woman, and she had a real discerning prophetic ministry. And I've seen God speak through her many times. Just one time she took my daughter aside and began to speak to her. And after church, my husband and I asked, what did the woman say? And our daughter said, well, I wrote 5 questions to God last night in my journal, and she answered every one in the order I wrote them down.
Oh my goodness.
But then sometimes she would just be way off, and you just knew it. You just knew, like, this is not of God. But I loved her spirit. Afterwards, she'd come up and she said, you know, I just think that was me, and I don't think that was God, but I really appreciate y'all discerning with me, and I just want to be faithful. I can take that. I'm fine with that. If someone says, I need you to help me discern, and sometimes I'm going to get it wrong, and I need this community to keep me in line. Sometimes I get zealous. Sometimes I see things that I shouldn't see or whatever. And so she had placed herself in a discerning, and a critical thing is loving community. To love her enough to say, no, honey, we don't think that's from God. That's just not God. And she'd go, well, I just wondered that myself, but I thought I would put it out there. You know, I can take that anytime. What I don't like is someone who says,
humility.
Yeah, humility. Someone says, I'm special. I get all of these downloads from God, and I see things in the Bible nobody else sees. I have dreams that nobody else dreams. I have visions all the time, and I am somehow above having somebody say, no, honey, we don't think that's from God. That's more of you. Just sit down. And unfortunately, what grieved the heart of God in the Old Testament, New Testament is there are precious saints, precious people, sheep who are being led astray. And that is, that's a pretty heavy thing, I think, to lead people astray who belong to God. They're God's sheep. And then if I come along and lead them in a wrong path or wrong ideas, and lead them, especially in an age of violence now that we live in, maybe even to do things that are very wrong and unbiblical, you know, that we will be held accountable for those things.
Yeah, I think that's very true. What are some of the things now, Cheryl, you serve students in many contexts. And I know students are we're not talking about high school students, and some of them are not even young adults anymore, but some of them are. But are you seeing anything among students that concerns you regarding the charismatic or the Pentecostal ministry that relates to any of this? Are you seeing any trends? Are they concerned? Are they asking questions? What are you hearing?
Yeah, they're concerned, the ones that I see. And they're not just young ones, but those have been in the way a long time. Concerns, questions, disillusionment is very common right now. And what I'm afraid of is that the excesses and the abuses will cause them to shut down prophecy, to shut it down and to say, we are... You know, this is just too fraught with problems. And throughout history, you know, we see that happening. And and we're just going to become spirit and word are together. And it's a bad situation when they're divorced. And you've got spirit people who kind of are not so word centered. And then you've got word people who are afraid of the spirit and don't want to have anything to do with the spirit, but spirit and word are always united. And so what I'm afraid of is that some will just say, you know, this is just too slippery. It's too messy. People have been damaged. Our country may have been damaged by this. So let's try to shut this down rather than saying, let's repent. Number one, repent. I think if we need discernment today, I believe will lead us to the very first thing. And that is repentance. All of us, not you need to repent and I don't, but all of us do. And then a sense of let's build this more healthy, biblical, more communal, more humble approach to prophecy, and more loving, communal, and humble. And that I'm hoping to see that. And I do see signs in some of my students that that's what they're hungry for, is that they really hunger for the genuine. But they are, you know, some are jaded. I know of many young adults who have left the charismatic faith, never to return unless God does something, because they have seen so many of the abuses. And that's not the answer.
I agree. That's not the answer. Everything that I see in scripture is that, you know, prophecy never ceased all throughout. And so I know that Dr. Chris Green earlier today said to me that, you know, prophecy what doesn't cease. So we can try and throw it out, but you can't throw it out because you can't throw out the Holy Spirit, because he's everywhere doing what God does. But we can, as you said, shut it down. We can quench the spirit because we don't want the mess, and it's always been messy. But what we need, in my personal opinion, is we need good pastoring of the prophetic. So we need bring the prophetic right back into a communal, into a communal context. And then we need good pastoring of the prophetic. And we need people who read scripture and and know how to ground all of that in Bible.
Mm-hmm. In Bible. Oh, yeah. And humble prophets. Humble, loving, and weeping prophets.
Loving, and weeping.
And I believe that the sign of a prophet is tears. And but I'm seeing far too much arrogance in that.
Yeah, true. Well, we are coming to the end of our show, unfortunately. And but I have, we have exactly 2 minutes left. And I would love to have you pray for our people. And if there's any last thing that you want to say that you didn't get to say, you can go right ahead. And then I'm going to close this up. And thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yeah, you know, the prophet, the Apostle Paul said, seek the gift of prophecy. And therefore, we should seek that gift. And seek it for the church, seek it for our lives, and pray for it. And not shut it down. Yes, it's a gift of a precious, wonderful gift of the Spirit. Whereas the prophets keep the plumb lines in the body of Christ and keep us straight and help us to see as God sees. I would be happy to pray for us. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you so much. Not only did you give us your Son, you gave us your Son in living word to us today through Scripture. And you gave us the presence of the Spirit to bring Jesus to us and to make him alive. We thank you for your body, the body of Christ. However imperfect it is, we know that you love it. You gave yourself for it. You are sanctifying it. You are washing us. You're making us clean. I pray that you would continue, O Lord, to renew us. I pray that you would do the work in us that needs to be done, the painful, hard work. I pray that your loving judgment would meet us in ways that we see ourselves as truly the way that you see us, and that we would lead the life of penitence before you, always, always turning toward you, always turning away from others that are leading us in the wrong path. Thank you for Kim. Thank you for this ministry she has. I pray for it, Lord, that it would flourish way beyond even her present understanding and visions of that. In Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for being my guest, and I welcome you back anytime.
It's a joy. Great joy.
All right. All right, everybody. Well, that's it for today. See you again next Wednesday and every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Move Forward, Dr. Kim Moss. I will see you very soon. And always remember, never throw away your confidence. Keep moving forward.
Thank you for joining us for the Move Forward podcast. We would love for you to rate this podcast and share it with a friend. You can connect with Dr. Kim on social media. For those links and more, visit her website, kimmoss.com. Host Dr. Kim Moss leads Kim Moss Ministries and Women of Our Time. She is the author of Prophetic Community, The Way of the Kingdom, Facing Ziklag, and The Four Questions. You can find those books on Amazon. Remember, never throw away your confidence. It is time to move forward.